Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 36 of Spit and Chicklets, brought to you by Barstool
what
Sports.
What up? This I love
Ryan,
it.
Ryan Whitney, co-host.
Hello, gentlemen.
Producer Mikey Grinnelli. We got a very special guest coming in studio, slash my living room, in studio today. As a fan of the Boston Bruins my whole life, it's pretty exciting to have an actual Bruin in my house. We have Torey Krug, Bruins defenseman, coming in.
Are you going to have him sign the wall?
Yeah, maybe that's a tradition.
It's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I don't think my wife would mind at all if we just inked up.
She's like, as long as it's a Bruin.
Yeah. As long as it's a nice tope color.
I like the fact that we should let everyone know today's the first time we're actively drinking during the podcast.
Yes, we
I don't know what really took us so long. I think it's the summer being here. And
gas. We are officially gassing beers. If fucking Witz doesn't knock it off, we could be chucking nuts in a little bit. Having a, actually Sierra Nevada, shout out to our buddy Bernardo out in California. These were a gift from him during the Patriot season last year.
Sierra Nevada IPAs.
Good stuff. So great radio. So anyways, last night, big night, awful TV per usual, the NHL awards. Just
goddamn, what a joke.
It's almost like they know they're in the joke and they try to just go out.
I kind of thought that.
Like, it's almost like they're being ironic in a way. Of course, we doubt they are, but it's just bad TV. You know, it's definitely the ultimate Twitter show. You just follow along on Twitter. But last night it was worth watching because the Las Vegas Golden Knights expansion draft, which was a pretty clever way to get you to watch the awards last night.
Yeah, I mean, I think that everyone was so excited to see, all right, well, what's this team actually going to like have as a roster? And it was actually more exciting, I think, leading up. I think it was Sunday morning, the final day of the U.S. Open. Saturday or Sunday morning, they were supposed to release, everyone was going to release their unprotected and protected list. So that's what everyone was kind of getting ready for and excited. And all of a sudden, of course, only the NHL, they decided at this day at 10 a.m. Eastern, they're going to release the protected list. And then they decided to delay it to 10:30. Apparently, teams said they were confused by the final rules. I'd love to know what actually happened for them to not be ready to go on something like that big.
Honestly, just as a writer, blogger, whatever, you know, sort of covers the Bruins and the NHL, man, it really is convoluted following this shit. And, you know, hats off to George McPhee for not only learning the rules on the fly. I mean, basically, this was different than other expansion drafts. I know we haven't had one for a while. They basically, I wouldn't say rigged it, but they set it up for the team to be much more competitive than teams, you know, in the past, expansion teams of the past. But McPhee was in a position where he basically could kind of hold hostage other teams and say, I like this guy, and if you don't give me something, then we're going to draft him.
I know,
him,
and
you know?
He was smart enough to, like, I feel like every article I've read out there is that every other GM was so frustrated, annoyed, but also respected the shit out of it because it's a guy that's doing exactly what he's got to do to try to get this team good. And now you look at their draft picks. It's like three first-rounders this year, next year two, just stockpiling, you know, picks that they're almost saying, well, to guarantee we were not going to be good for 2-3 years, at least the first year. I mean, they're going to stink, but in any way, shape, or form, they're setting themselves up for 5 or 6 years from now. So I think that it's going to be a team that struggles, but has somehow set up a way to get to that next level way sooner than like you've seen Columbus or Minnesota get there.
Well, I mean, even going way, way back.
What year was that?
That was, I want to say late 90s. Might have been Columbus, might have been like 2001, 2002 Columbus. Yeah, because the Predators were like 98, 99. And then there were like three teams in a few years. But
you just have to be good from the draft now. And that's been their whole goal, to get picks.
And I think
they have 11 first round and second round picks in the next 2 years.
11?
11 first and second rounders in the next two years.
You want to say, fuck, you got to hit on at least like three or four of them. But what if all of a sudden they go out and you've seen how good the draft's been lately and they get a bunch of like stud players? I don't think this year they'll be able to do that. This year's draft's weak, but next year's looks great. And you get guys that now, well, basically it comes down to this, right? So these teams used to be struggling so like often at the beginning, you know, and still up to 10 years in Columbus, and you look how bad they were for so long.
Yeah.
But that was before like 18-year-olds would get drafted and be really good the next year. Like this wasn't normal. I mean, everyone goes back to Joe Thornton. He had 6 points his rookie year. Like this whole like being drafted in the first round 18 and then playing in the NHL the next year and being really good wasn't around for these other expansion teams. So that's why if they can hit on some of those, you'll actually look to see them being really good sooner than I think everyone expects.
I think for sure they're going to be competitive, and I think that's...
I don't know, really. This year?
Well, I'm not saying that, you know, they're going to go on a playoff run. I just mean competitive in that they're going to be tough to play against every night. I think, you know, you got a coach like Gallant who's, you know, his players love him.
Guys will love him. I think this year he'll be like, hey, fuck everyone else. No one's expecting anything out of us, and just guys will love it.
And they got a bona fide number one in Flurry. You know, I know that, you know, offensively that, you know, probably leaves a little something to be desired. Of course, they do got the draft coming up. There's still months before they even play a game that, you know, George McPhee can still do a lot of trade and a lot of tinkering. I think, I'm not saying they're going to get the playoffs or anything, but I think you'll see a competitive squad there with the coach, with the number one. And also, it's like the Major League effect. All these, like the movie Major League, please tell me you know that one, baseball movie.
Dude, yeah. One of my favorites. So, I fucking love Major League.
All these guys
too
who,
high.
Who, all these guys who weren't wanted by other teams, I think they're going to have that chip on their shoulder too, that, you know, they're going to buy in. So, yeah, it wouldn't shock me if they competed for a playoff spot at all in their first year or so. I mean, am I expecting it? I don't know, but I don't think
they'll compete for a second spot, and I'll tell you why. Yeah. But quickly, they could really be like Major League, where instead of stripping off the pictures to get to the owner, that bitch owner's like tight little bottom, you know, vaginal
area. Yeah,
they can just get like a unreal stripper from Vegas that they all know, and maybe just do it, and she won't even have to have underwear.
Strippers
on,
like, in Vegas? Wait, what are you talking about?
Just occasionally, I've heard.
Yeah, and also too, talking about Vegas, I wrote in my blog today that like the enthusiasm for this team
was,
and, like,
unreal.
It's like even last night, just the whole buildup. Like, you know, the media seems to be on board, which is kind of rare. Fans, you know, I think the way the expansion draft is set up in the last 15 years since we've had an expansion draft, fantasy football, fantasy sports have exploded. Obviously, they were around before then, so everyone kind of in the last, you know, 15, 20 years thinks they're a GM anyway, so everybody got to play along. You know, the media got to write columns about it. The fans got to, you know, play along with it. And, you know, George McPhee had to do it for real. So I think there was almost like a participation level there that, you know, people hadn't really seen to that extent before. But just like I said, the whole excitement about the team, everything around it has been fun, man. It just feels like a really good vibe.
And I look to, like, I was really happy for Fleury because, like, I think it was probably hard. Not probably. It was definitely hard what he's gone through. He's won Stanley Cup the last 2 years, but he wasn't, you know, the guy that won the final game for him. And so I was really happy for him to be the center of attention. You know, he was like, they brought out Derek Englund, who lives in Vegas.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool for Derek Englund, a guy who came up in Pittsburgh's minor league. And a lot of guys I know, I never got the chance to play with him, but just a team guy, tough as shit. And he played, and he started, I mean, to get from the East Coast League where he was in Las Vegas playing for the Vegas Wranglers. I think he met his wife there. Now he's back living there and playing there. He never stopped living there, but he now plays in the NHL there. It's good for a guy like him. But, like, Fleury was just, you could tell, like, everyone's so fired up. He's by far and away the biggest name they have. And for a team that's going to really struggle to score goals, thank God that their goalie's their number one guy, like the guy that they can really lean on. Vegas got lucky in the fact that Matt Murray came along and was able to kind of push Fleury out the door.
Did you guys see the picture Malkin put up?
Yeah, with my MVP with the backwards 29 jersey on.
So he's a real locker room guy, huh?
Yeah, I always tell people, he didn't speak English when I played with him, but... Like,
Fleury or Malkin?
Good question. No, Malkin. Okay, Fleury is always... Fleury's basically had the same English since I think that he's like 19. It's just a hilarious French accent. He's like the French guy in from Ricky... What's the movie with Ricky Bobby?
Talladega Nights.
He's like that French guy that races against him. Right?
Yeah.
Nah,
not.
But I think that, you know, Fleury's just such a good guy to be around that he'll help that team so much. But when I say they struggle to score goals, you notice that they got some pretty good defensemen.
Look, Marchessault there, the kid in Florida, 30 goals last year.
Yeah, I know. But, like, I look at their Vegas' team, I'm saying, and they have no... You notice teams are, you realize you have to have good centers.
Yeah.
And there's no centers out there.
Exactly.
That's the one thing the team's like, we cannot lose any of our top centers. So that's where Vegas really struggle, like possessing the puck and being offensive, you know, with a guy who can at least set guys up. But I don't know. I'm interested to see how the year goes in terms of, like, fans. Like, at the beginning, it's going to be nuts. It's going to be rocking there. And I think that technically they've sold out every game. I mean, can you think of a better place if you pick out a couple Boston guys or, you know, some dudes from Toronto? Let's go watch our team play in Vegas.
Like, no. And
that's going to be for every road game, I would assume.
And that's also, too, the location's great. I mean, obviously, we raved about Nashville's location. You come out and every bar in Nashville is outside the front door of Bridgestone, it feels like. Here there in Vegas, I mean, the arena is right behind New York, New York. So when you, you know, you leave the game, the Vegas Strip is right there. It's definitely a road trip I'm going to be taking. I'm not sure if I'm going to make it this season or not, but I mean, you're going to Vegas, Bruins in town. What, you know, why wouldn't you?
And it just starts your night, dude. Think about it.
Oh, absolutely.
You
leave
game 7 to 9:30. Yeah. You're not even out of bed before 9:30 if you're there anyway.
Exactly.
That's
yeah.
the nap after the pool party.
And the other
God day, damn it, I got married.
I wasn't, well, the you know, whatever leaked images or logos we saw, I wasn't crazy about the. What we saw the Golden Knights logo first, but I'll tell you, I thought the jersey looked pretty good once you seen it on.
Dude,
a guy.
I hated it.
I love them.
It's
didn't
fucking
like it at
Team
first.
Germany with I white gloves. Oh, I was gonna tell you guys, you like that?
I just know what I'm saying. I didn't like it at all at first, but when I saw it, you know, when it with the completed product on a player, I thought it was an improvement once I saw, you know,
I love
on a guy.
I
you
love
two
it.
Fucking guys like it's just it's one too many color. It's one too many color for me. I thought it reminded me so much of Team Germany. Somebody actually tweeted that. I was laughing.
Drop the red.
Reminded me of a coral snake.
But what were they going to do, though? It's Vegas. They had to do something. It couldn't be plain.
Right. See, I think, again, we talked about it before. I thought they should have had a better name, a different name. Obviously, the owner, well-documented, he's a big West Point guy, big Army guy. And, you know, wanted the Knights. He wanted to work Knights into the name somehow. It was basically, like, come hell or high water, he was going to do it. So I think they limited themselves in getting a really cool nickname. But, you know, having said that, you look at it, it's, you know, a knight with the shield face and the V there. It's not bad. I'll tell you, it's better than fucking that godforsaken Ducks shirt. I know the Ducks, man, they got a fucking, that logo
stinks.
Tough. And then you know who else is like sucks too? And like, is that Vancouver, the Orca Sea Atrocity, I call it.
Yeah, it's and
like,
the color. Vancouver should go back to those Vs they had, but actually, they have like the colors the same as Vegas, pretty much.
Yeah.
I'm sick of Vancouver's like green, what is it, green and blue?
Yeah.
That's terrible. Well, the Ducks is awful. The Ducks colors and
the name,
the logo.
Like a duck is probably the biggest pussy bird out there. And like,
I thought they were like savages. Somebody told me once they end up being savages when challenged.
Those are pelicans.
Pelicans will fucking...
Flap, pelican, flap.
Pelicans. All right, so I thought it was Ducks.
You don't think I got the scars?
I'm just
my face
wondering. Like, I want to ask Krug. Remind me, because I'll forget.
Okay, I'm good at that.
I want Grinnelli's our reminder. I want to ask him, like, if guys wanted to get selected. I'm gonna guess that everyone was like, please, please don't. First of all, please don't like unprotect me. Like, give them a chance to draft me. But you knew going in who your guys are gonna be for every team, right? It was pretty laid out. The nine guys. Or whatever the number was. But in terms of like being a guy, like, I don't know, are guys happy last night? You got to think that guys who are married's wives are like, are you shitting me? We're moving to Vegas. But it's actually nice too.
Yeah, it's a good, I mean, there's plenty of great neighborhoods to live out there. I mean, I don't think it's much different from, you know, any other city. It's got its good parts and it's got, you know, its shady parts. But I mean, I'm sure guys who, like I was saying before we started, they're probably a little bit pissed off, you know, that this, oh, okay, the team didn't want to protect me. And, you know, they're going to have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. Of course, they could only protect on, you know, three defense, if they opted for that particular layout, you know, can only protect three defensemen. I guess there was certain, you could either pick to what was it, like so many forwards and three defensemen
yeah.
and one
no,
goalie.
You could pick, I think. You could pick how many you protected
right.
for each, right?
So, you know, I mean, basically, there are going to be quality guys that teams can't protect. And as far as the Bruins, like, Bruins Twitter was, like, all up in arms that they lost Colin Miller for nothing. And it's like, dude, that's how expansion drafts work. Your owner gets a shitload of money, and you lose a player of your roster. Like, they didn't let him go for nothing. I mean, it's funny. Like, literally nobody said trade Colin Miller 3 months ago, but Bruins fans were like, they didn't get nothing for him. It's like... But you couldn't trade them a few months ago. You needed them. And then, you know, what are they going to wait till after? It's like you can't fucking satisfy them, man. You know?
Do you think any players are happy to go in the sense if they're in a tough situation where they are, you know, they're not playing third, fourth line, maybe getting healthy scratched every few games?
I think we said that one episode that there's definitely guys who are like, all right, I'm going to get a chance now to play. Yeah. But like looking through the roster, you think of a guy, you know, like, they got Grabowski. He can score. I mean, from the Islanders, he can play. And they got David Perron, and he can score. So guys like that might who are going to kind of played wherever they were before might be like, oh, I got nobody to get me the puck, blah, blah, blah. But then you look at a guy, you know, like the kid Brickley, we talked about Connor Brickley. You know, I've played with him in the minors. He got a little bit of a shot in Florida, but he gets picked. He was with Carolina. All of a sudden, you know, he's going to get a shot to play in the NHL. So guys like that, I think you're definitely right. But I wonder, too... By the time people are listening to this over the next 2 days, it's Thursday right now, we could end up having some of these guys dealt for other more draft picks. Like, I don't think they're done by any means. You hear rumors. And when Bob McKenzie starts tweeting about this, you're like, okay.
Yeah,
well, that means it's going to happen, which is what a legend Bobby Mack
exactly.
is. Yeah, whatever he says is pretty much, he's just telling you what's going to happen in a sense. But he's mentioned that Mathot may be out of there, which is weird because he's like their number one.
He'd stay in Vegas.
Not too bad. Not too Krug would like that
oh,
one.
Oh, waka waka.
But I think that, you know, if anything, you're going to see some guys move, but they're still going to make sure that they have an amount of... Like, Trevor Van Riemsdyk has already been traded to Carolina, so that's one guy. You just see little things like that. But they still have to keep enough guys to field the team, and that's why like a guy like Mathot or Perron, who might think they're going to get traded now, I mean, they might want to... They might, you know, be like thinking, all right, well, I'm not going to be there that long, and I don't really think that they're going to keep me there. And then all of a sudden they keep you and you're like, all right, well, now I got to play there. We're going to suck. And that can be shitty for him. But that's just more up to a guy how he's going to decide to go about it.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, going forward, Vegas, they have a good framework in place. They got a, George McPhee's been a GM for a long time. Gallant, obviously a coach well-liked by his team. Well, not so much by his management last year in Florida. But I think they got a lot of good pieces in place. So, like I said, to at least ice a competitive squad early. Going back to the awards.
Something about the awards.
Any real surprise in the awards themselves last night? I'd say no. I mean, maybe, well, I can't really say it's a surprise, Connor McDavid winning the awards. Basically, Crosby didn't look too happy. He lost the Lester Pearson award, did he?
The
Lester Pearson voted on by players, right?
Is that Ted Lindsay? What's the Ted Lindsay Award?
Oh, wait. I'm getting confused. Wait.
We have to have Grinnelli look it up.
Yeah, the Lindsay Award is the one. You're right. That's the one that voted on by your peers.
No, I think you might. I don't know. Either way, I thought Crosby, he gave him a nice little nod, but I did think that Marcel Dion, did you see the comment he made about Ali Raisman's legs? I was like, Jesus Christ, Marcel. He's like, legs on this young girl. He's probably loaded.
Well, I saw that, and it caused a little, of course, it's, you know, ripple effect in 2017.
People were complaining about what he said?
The AP had a headline that said, Marcel Dion compliments Ali Raisman on her legs. Go ahead.
Ted Lindsay, best player as voted by the NHLPA.
Okay.
So, he won the Lindsay and the Hart. Yeah, what's the Lester Pearson? Check that one out, Grinnelli.
Marcel Dion said that. Yeah, you know, look at the legs on it. Now, of course, I'm sure he's getting dragged somewhere by somebody.
I loved
it. Honestly,
what a legend.
Like, not for nothing, I guess I'll defend him a little bit. Not for nothing, but how many people, when they look at Ali Raisman, that's the first thing they say is look at, because, dude, she's muscle bound, like she's jacked, and I don't think it's like from a dirty old man perspective. It's that she's a phenomenal athlete, and you know she showed her whole body to the world. I mean, she was naked in ESPN the magazine.
She looked great, and he's like a dude saying, "Look at her legs." Like it was hilarious. I mean, but it was also a compliment. People get mad at that.
I didn't get the sense it was anything creepy. She kind of laughed it off. I mean, and it's funny because she actually called out TSA for like, you know, what she called body shaming her for not thinking she had muscles or something along those lines. So,
fun fact, my dad, Ali Raisman's dad, very good friends.
Oh, really?
No.
Pardon? Your dad and Ali Raisman's dad?
Yes, are very good friends.
So why don't you get in there?
Insurance, man. I've tried. My dad, to be honest, my dad said she would crush me, I think is other words.
She would dummy him. Grinnelli's got shorts on today. His legs are skinnier than mine. That's saying something.
They're bad.
No, so the other one, what was I dying laughing at? Some guy tweeted me, hey, Whit, tons of Rockets at the NHL Awards tonight. Yeah, you think, dude? It's the best players in the league who have girls with them. What do you think, they're going to be ugly? That was a smoke show fest last night.
Oh, dude, yeah. I mean, some of the players' wives are just absolute Rockets. And by the way, Grinnelli just did some spelunking for us on the internet. And the Ted Lindsay Award used to be known as the Lester Pearson. So we're actually not wrong. Yeah, exactly. So we were both right. Yeah, no shit, huh? Anyways, going back to that.
Terrible Ted Lindsay.
McDavid voted the MVP by his peers. That's a little different than a bunch of hacks in the media voting for it, right? I mean, recognition from your boys, you know?
I feel like the Hart Trophy has more pizzazz just because of the past and who's won it. But yeah, when your own players are voting for it, I thought McDavid, Crosby missed a little time with injury. I thought McDavid was deserving in the MVP this year. Crosby won the playoff MVP. It kind of worked out good. I didn't know if it was going to be Carlson or Brent Burns. If they could have voted after the playoffs for the Norris Trophy, obviously you're going to have Carlson winning it. But they vote, I think, the day the regular season ends.
Yeah, definitely. It's only before the playoffs. Yeah.
So, and in that sense, with the year Burns had, he was pretty much a lock to win that once you realized it was regular season. What else did we have? Rookie of the Year, Auston Matthews, was no question. We would have loved to have seen Patrick Laine if he could have stayed healthy, how that would have gone.
With that fucking duster of his last night. That
guy.
Blonde mustache last
that
night.
That guy, he must have ripped up Vegas last night. He looked like one of those finish machines ready to just... He's probably there till like Tuesday.
He looked like he could play like Matt Mull if he were going to make a Mr. Mom porno or something. Like, yes, I am here with the pizza.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, Mr. Mom, Michael Keaton, old school. All right, so basically...
That's an RA one right
there. Yeah, exactly. Ask a millennial. So yeah, there was no major surprises. Patrice Bergeron won his fourth Selke, ties Bob Gainey.
It's the most ever, right?
Most Selke ever.
We got to ask Krug about him. Like, what the fuck? That's unbelievable. And the year he had, at the beginning of the year, people were like, what's wrong with Bergeron? And then the second half, he scored like he usually does. But just the whole year, he's obviously got the defensive hockey down.
Played with his sports hernia all year, too.
Yeah, that's four. So that's his fourth Selke. I wonder, Datsyuk must have won three then.
I think he only won two. Because I was reading it last night. And currently, no other active NHLer has more than one right now. Kopitar and Kessel all have one.
Yeah, Bergeron's just a complete machine. I mean, what a career he's had. So he'll probably get a fifth one. I wouldn't be surprised. But Krug has arrived, so we're going to go to him. So we'll get that going right now.
Now we're bringing in a very special guest, our first in studio in here
first
in Boston.
First in studio.
In studio, a.k.a.
meaning
my living room.
In a living room.
Boston Bruins own defenseman, and he actually received the second place vote for the Norris Trophy last night.
I was going to ask you if you got any votes. I figured you might.
Tory Krug, live in person. Tory, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate of course.
So what did you think of getting the big vote last night?
Did you know that?
No, I saw it afterwards. I think Elliot Friedman was posting it on Twitter and everything, and I looked it up. And just curious, I had no clue, didn't even think I'd get anything, and all of a sudden I see a second place vote. I'm like, who's the idiot that voted me for second place? Like, maybe like, you know, fifth or sixth or something down the line, but I was surprised at all. So
52 points, 82 games played. I could see that. I really can.
Yeah, definitely.
I would have immediately, if I was you, checked my contract. Like, is there any like bonus if I had a second place? Was that extra 100K?
Now, as far as the playoffs, have you been watching them, or are you one of these guys who want your teams out? You couldn't care less about them.
Yeah, no, I was listening to you guys when you had Thordy on the show, and I knew exactly what he was going to say when you asked him that question, and I fall into a very similar boat, but, you know, it's really hard. You know, Whittle he'll admit that it's tough to, when you get back in the gym, to be motivated, especially when you're sitting on your ass for a few weeks and then all of a sudden you're thrown in the gym. So I take the next couple rounds, I'm pretty bitter that we lost, and then once it gets to about the finals, I start watching again to give myself some motivation and you know, get back into the gym.
Now, this year was, I thought, a tough ender for you guys. How frustrating was it for you to sit there and not be able to take part, knowing that, you know, you could have really made a difference out there? Especially, I think the margin between the Sens and Bruins was so close that, you know, a guy like of your magnitude could have made a difference. And I mean, is it tough to sit there?
Not to interrupt. Can we get what happened? Because I don't know, like, exactly. Or can you, I mean, did you need surgery? Yeah.
No surgery or anything. I just had a pretty bad MCL sprain, and it was just a freak thing. Like, pinching down the boards against Ottawa, and my leg whipped, and it was like non-contact, which is almost unheard of. So,
yeah.
Just a freak thing. And then, you know, back to your question about the playoffs is, you know, it's been 3 years since I played in a playoff game, and in Boston, playoffs are a special thing to be a part of. So, I was pretty bitter up in the press box, jumping up and down when big plays were made. But, you know, it's tough. It was a tough pill to swallow because every game we lost was a one-goal game, and our power play wasn't clicking at times. It stepped up and had a couple big goals here and there, but I know it's tough being up there when you know you can help make a difference.
Right, and especially, like I like I said, you guys beat them, you go on to play Pittsburgh. I mean, I had said to Ryan, I think you guys would have given a good series. You know, you've played them tough the last few years, so I mean, it's probably doubly frustrating knowing that, Christ, we went ahead a path to the final here, you know?
Yeah, well, you never know. At that point, it doesn't matter who's playing. The situation's what it is. If you get in, you have a hot goaltender, you know, you move on and you take the breaks when you get. You got to be lucky to make the finals. So, obviously, we've had some success against Pittsburgh the last few years. So, they're another team that, you know, you get in there, you never know what happens. So, it would have been fun to just get through.
No. I was just going to say, so when the season ends, I know it's different when you're finishing injured, but how long do you usually wait to get back in the gym? Are you doing it now? He's coming in all here ripped up here, boys. Huh? He's
Mind Allie Raisman's legs. Check out his games over here.
Marcel Dion wouldn't be going as nuts for you, though, last night.
I saw that. That was hilarious.
There's some twigs over there, man.
But no, so what are you doing, like, and are you around, like, Boston all summer. You head home. What's your deal?
Yeah, I'm one of the guys. I took a page out of Thordy's book. I stick around. You have to go through the winter. You want to enjoy the summer.
Exactly.
It's the only place that we have that we live in, and so it's becoming a home for us, and we enjoy it. But I take a few weeks off, go to some Sox games. Do that thing where you just rest up and heal
rest up,
and
have some beers.
Yeah, exactly. And more than anything, physically, obviously, there's a lot of things after the season that you gotta, take your time and heal up. But mentally, it's a big thing too.
Yep.
Go out, eat whatever you want, have a couple beers, and hang out, and then
exactly.
All of a sudden, hit it hard when you get back in the gym. So yeah, that's it.
So are you a guy who, when I played, I didn't really skate till like the beginning of August. Are you on the ice in July and stuff? Or are you just waiting? Are you just trying to just do all off ice stuff?
I'm twice a week at the end of July. And then I progress from there.
Slowly from there.
Yeah, I spend most of my time in the gym and making sure the body's ready. And it's tough to jump on the ice when you're not ready.
You hop back in. Well, you can ride the. I used to say you could ride the bike and work out like an animal all day, and you put on skates and you're still huffing and puffing, dying. It's like the muscles you just cannot do by skating.
And then also, when you jump out there, you feel like the worst hockey player in the world.
Your hands are a joke.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. Zdeno tells a story about how Hossa will just jump on the ice, hasn't skated in 3 months, and then Hossa jumps on the ice. He's the best player out there. And it's unbelievable to me.
That guy's a freak.
Yeah.
We didn't even bring up, actually, because we did a little before you came, but that's crazy to think, have you ever seen what happened to him? I mean, he's done playing now. I don't know if everyone has heard, but he's allergic to a certain allergic reaction he has from his gear is so bad that he's not going to play hockey this year, and he probably won't play again.
I think they said the treatment they give him is actually a lot of the side effects, and it's just, yeah, like you said.
Have you ever heard of that?
Of anything like that?
I've heard of
ringworm when your trainer's a lazy fuck and doesn't wash your Ginch.
Yeah, no, I've seen that. I've never heard of it, and it's tough. I've actually heard rumors that he was going through that this season, and to hear that it's obviously going to sit him out this season, it's tough to hear because he's such a great player.
Yeah, it is unusual. Last night, the expansion draft, did you pay much attention to that? I knew you were obviously protected, but we haven't had one for a while, that you had to be unprotected. But what goes through a player's mind there as far as,
We were going to say, do guys want to go or you have any buddies that were involved in that?
No.
Colin Miller, you think, happy that he's actually going to get a chance maybe to play more and go in there? Or is that tough for you to say?
Yeah, I don't want to speak for Colin, but I do know that he loves Boston. He lived in Saudi this year. Starting to get, a feel for things in the locker room. He started to come out a little bit out of his shell, and he wasn't here a very long time, but people were starting to realize the type of guy he was. And then on the ice, he was now he's got a chance to step up and be the player he was. I called him. I said, hey, I know you're disappointed, but now's your chance. Go out there and show people what you got, and hopefully he does it.
Yeah, I think he'll probably have a better opportunity because, obviously we already saw McAvoy for, I think, with 6 games, and I think he's ready for the NHL.
Kid, man.
Yeah, he's...
Were you surprised with how good he was right away? I mean, it would have been great if you were out there with him in the playoffs.
You guys would have been perfect.
Yeah, I can't say I was surprised, but anytime someone goes in there and play the minutes that he was playing, that's pretty surprising. Yeah, I knew he was going to have success.
Is what it is.
He's got a swagger to him, and
young guys.
Yeah,
do now.
But you have to if you're going to be a young guy playing a league. You can't be going in there scared to make mistakes. You got to have that swagger, that cockiness, if you will, and that helps guys that play the style that we play. It helps them make those plays. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I was excited. He's a great kid too. Hell of a guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's got him presumably number one. You're going to have Kyle behind him. So, I mean, as far as Miller, I don't know. I mean, he might not have been any higher than a third pairing guy this year. So
yeah, that's what we were saying. It's just like so many guys, and you've seen it, that they're so close to being good in the NHL. Maybe they're just in a spot where they don't really get the chance to show what they can do. So he strikes me as a guy who might be able to go there, play top 4 minutes, and never worried about making a mistake and getting benched, and you know how it is. And he might just flourish. And I think some guys probably hated the fact that they had to leave their cities, but in the end, when they get there, it might be a good thing for him.
Yeah, that might be a case. Like I said, I don't want to speak for Colin,
exactly.
But he's got all the tools, man. And,
yeah.
And hopefully he does get the opportunity, he takes advantage of it. And that's what this game's all about. It's just opportunity and running with it. So
going back to you, I always ask these guys, or when the guys we interview, I always say, When in your life did you think, all right, I think I can play in the NHL? Now, as an undersized guy, like, I'm sure there was people all the time when you were younger, fucking almost getting in your ear, you're too little. But was there a moment when you're like, I can do this? Or was it not until you turned pro and played in Providence?
To be honest, it wasn't until my sophomore or junior year at Michigan State.
Started dominating.
You know, when I was 16, 17, getting a lot of pressure from the folks who pay a lot of money for me to play hockey, and I really didn't see it going anywhere. And then you know, I was thinking about hanging them up and maybe just taking it on as a hobby. And then you know, we talked about
How big, all right, so 16, 17, you're thinking that, how big were you then?
Oh shoot, I was probably 5'5" at that point, like I was tiny, man.
And like, well, what the fuck, I can't, I'm too small right now.
Yeah. And then you know, the head coach in Detroit, Jeff Blashill, saw me at like a select festival camp and invited me to his training camp. He was the head coach of Indiana Ice in the USHL, and he called me, and I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna go, like, you know, I don't think I have it, like,
I got this girlfriend back home, you know, I'm kind of done with hockey.
X-Files is on this weekend, I don't want to miss.
So, you know, he's asking me, and I'm like, no, I'm just gonna go to this other camp, get some experience, and maybe things will pan out. He goes, what are you talking about, like, come make my team. I was like, all right, like, if I come down there, that's where I'm gonna do that. And he actually designed a power play penalty kill scrimmage just to see if I could run a power play at that level.
No shit.
Yeah, and then he had
this is with the Indiana Ice,
yeah,
you said?
Yeah. And then he had to straighten out the owner and convince him to put me on the team. So the owner had to take some convincing, but
Owner now is like, okay, I have no idea what I'm doing. Yeah, like, exactly. What am I doing owning a hockey team?
And then, things just progressed from there. And Michigan State, I had a good freshman year. I played with Jeff Petrie, who's in Montreal.
Great, Petey.
Yeah, Petey.
Man, he came up. I saw him probably like you saw Colin Miller. Like, I was in Edmonton and he came up.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And I was like, I sat right next to him. I remember telling him, like, this fuck. I go, you're going to be nasty. Like, people couldn't really see. Edmonton was bad. But so you must have seen how good he can skate. He can hammer guys. He's pretty fucking great player.
Yeah, he's so wide, too. You can't go down.
Skates like the wind. And it doesn't look slow. It doesn't look like he's flying. You see him buzzing by guys. Glad. That's why I didn't know you played with him.
Yeah, he was my D partner. So I got to witness that firsthand. And I don't know. Obviously, we were good for each other, but then I didn't know what it was going to be like without him the next year, because he took off and signed in Edmonton and played some games. And then sophomore, junior, things just took off, and that's when I was like, all right, this is something that could happen. Yeah. So,
you know, the NHL is still obsessed with size. I mean, you know, going back.
No, I don't think anymore, though. Do you?
I think
it's getting better.
It is getting better.
It's getting better, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, you know, you have Theo Fleury, who played, you know, what, 30 years ago. I mean, Marty St. Louis. So many guys, undersized guys have proved that, you know, if you could be undersized and still be a quality NHL. I'm not saying that all teams that are.
No. But, I agree. I mean, it's still, but now I just think that whereas a guy like St. Louis and Theo Fleury, they had to, like, really prove it, or, you know, St. Louis, you know, he undrafted, was Calgary, yeah, got rid of him. Now I think if you're that small, you still get the shot.
Right.
Whereas before, I think guys didn't even get the shot. Right. I mean, if you're coming up in the 80s, man, you might not even get a shot.
Yeah, no chance.
It's crazy to think. Like, it's just you're right. It's still like you look for that 6'1" centerman or the taller defenseman. Yeah. But in the end, it's at least now, like, all right, let's see if this kid can play.
Now, having said that, the biggest guy to ever play the position in the NHL is Zdeno Chara. What's it like having him for your captain, having him set the tone in the locker room out? Like, what kind of a role model has he been to you as a professional?
Yeah, well, I think early on, it's extremely intimidating walking into a room with, you know, Zdeno Chara, Patrice Bergeron, you know, Tukes is there, Marshy, all these guys. I had Sean Thornton, Milan Lucic at the time, so I can run down the list. And
that'll keep your lips shut.
Yeah, just like walking in like this.
Yeah. I think that was like the last time that rookies actually had kept their mouth shut. So.
Oh, yeah, they even fucking loudmouth now.
Joke, yeah. Now they control the radio and the music in the room. It's like a joke. But, so it was... You know, it was pretty intimidating walking into that room, but he was just so receptive. And, you know, it's just, even though he's a foot taller than me, I try to pick things out of his game, like how simple he makes the game and the way he works. He's so intense. Every day he shows up to work and he's ready to go. And it doesn't matter if you just lost 5-0 the night before or you won 5-0. It's this guy shows up. And, you know, I'm very happy that I was able to pick some things up from him.
You got any message for the, NHL draft this weekend? You got any message for the kids who don't get drafted? Because obviously, you know, you weren't drafted.
That's why he's a great producer. What a good question. That's a great question.
Brunelli still thinks he's going to make it. That's fine.
So you want me to speak to you on this one?
Never give up.
He's like, man, just talk to me privately. I won't stop staring at you right now.
Put in a good word for
Cam. We can do this off the show if you want.
Put in a word for Cam for me.
No, I mean, to be honest, like, I went through it and I was pretty bitter and pissed off that I didn't get drafted.
Oh, yeah, I didn't.
Yeah, I was.
Shit.
Well, the last year I had interviewed with the Bruins. I got along great with Rod Brendamore. He's a fellow Sparty down in Carolina.
Rod.
Yeah, and
guys, a
Rod
machine.
The Bod, baby.
Rod the Bod, exactly. Yeah. They locked him out of the weight room.
Yeah.
I heard.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. So I had gotten, I had a good relationship with him. I went to their development camp the year prior. So there were a few teams that had reached out and said, "Hey, you know, we might take you." And you know, sitting around watching your computer screen, like waiting, and nothing happens. And I was pretty pissed off, pretty bitter, and I guess it was the best thing that ever happened to me. So if I got drafted, who's to say, you know, I don't get comfortable with where I was and I don't end up in the league. So for me, it was the fuel on the fire. And I was lucky enough to be able to pick, you know, what team I could go play for that had a hole in the lineup that I could fill. And, you know, I was excited about that.
Right. I don't think everyone realized that. You could have played literally for anybody and you chose to come to Boston, correct?
Yeah. How did that go down?
Yeah. Well, it's a long process. Coming out of school, there's a lot of people that obviously you can talk to and go through that process with. So you dwindle your list down to a few teams. I think I had about, you know, 10 to 15 teams that, you know, I could have talked to and progressed more seriously, but I dwindled it down to about 3 or 4. And you know, the Bruins, they had won the Stanley Cup a few years ago, and people thought I was crazy for going there because their defense was stacked with, you know, Z, Johnny, Sides, Ferentz, and you, Quater, and you just go down the list, and like, where the hell are you going to fit
in? What are you doing, buddy?
But they won the Stanley Cup without a power play. I think they were like 6 or 7%.
They had the worst power play in the history to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah,
that's why they brought in Cabrelet, and he couldn't literally do anything.
So that was my line of thinking. There was no one in that lineup that could do what I did, and you know, I was lucky enough to get my shot a couple years later.
No, I had been looking through your Hockey DB, and I was like, have you ever played internationally for Team USA? Like, World Juniors were around, so if you're telling me it's 17, 16, you didn't even know what was going on, you didn't even get a sniff in those.
Not a sniff.
That's fucking unreal.
Yeah, I don't know. It was... I just wasn't one of their guys, and
yeah, at that point, the development program and stuff, it does matter.
They have their boys, but you know, at the same time, like, I can't blame them. I wasn't anything special when at that younger age, and obviously, I've always had similar talents that I do now. Like, I was always a step ahead of the play. I could think the game a certain way, but physically, I was. You know, I got drafted to the OHL in like the 13th round. I was 5'3", 120 pounds.
So, like, all right, so your game though, like, you're, I'd say at least one of your best weapons is your shot. Like, you can really one time a puck. Was it always like that even when you were little, or was that finally when you got stronger?
No, I had a muffin.
had a muffin. Like, I had his muffin when he was 5'2", 120.
Someone say muffin,
6'4".
Muffin top? Wait a minute.
All right, he's got his shirt off. So you didn't have this shot. That's what it was. It weren't just you were small, but you didn't really. And then it all started coming. Yeah. So, but I bring up international only because I haven't talked to that many guys. Like, were you upset no Olympics anymore? Are you happy with that? Like, what was your thoughts on that whole thing?
I just think I could give you the politically correct answer.
No, we don't want that.
No,
on
I know,
show.
But I'm saying, you know, first and foremost, I think it's a big opportunity that they're missing to grow the
game.
Here. Like, it's so
Same
many
here.
People over there. It's kind of ridiculous. And then a few years later, I think the Olympics is in Beijing or something. So
yeah. Either way, they're going to places that if they want to grow the game.
Yeah.
I mean, forget being the guy who gets 2-3 weeks off if you're not in the Olympics or getting to play in the Olympics. It doesn't make sense to me. I didn't know if you thought the same.
No, that's the first thing that comes to mind. And then the second thing is, you know, this might be my last crack at an Olympic team and playing for Team USA and, you know, filling a childhood dream. So, yeah, that's kind of, you know, the main reason I'm upset about it.
Grinnelli's happy because he might make that Olympic team. Yeah, so he's got all warrior gear.
I'm
just going well.
You a big movie guy? We always talk about movies on the show here and there. You a big hockey movie guy?
Yeah, what's your off ice stuff? Golfer? Anything?
Yeah. I'm working on the golf game slowly but surely. I had shoulder surgery last year, so that set me back a whole summer, which I don't think it mattered too much in the long end. But I'm working on it. Yeah.
I got a question for you. So I'm looking at your legs here, and
this kid, man.
I'm willing to say that both of my thighs combined aren't even the size of one of yours.
That was
throw mine in too.
That was me with Crosby too. These guys that could skate, they got the big fucking quads on them.
How much you squat?
You're always like a girl at the greatest bar right now.
I know, can't believe it. They're trying to drag you one of my bedrooms over here.
Oh man.
So, all right. So we got looking forward to next season. Pasternak this year, he's a young guy that's great. You'll have Bergeron healthy. What do you guys think that, like, I know, not what are your goals, because every team has the same goals, but realistically, you know, with Tuukka in there, you guys think you could probably go pretty far and make at least a run in the playoffs, I would say, with the roster you have.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, with Tuukka, you can obviously create some damage.
So how about fans in this city who don't think he's a good goalie? What?
That's insane.
Can we talk to those people, this boss? What the fuck is wrong with morons? Yes. Think he's how good is he?
He's unbelievable. Yeah, I don't score on him in practice. Like, seriously. It's like under 10 goals a year in practice for me on him. And other players, you know, maybe less.
It's so easy, too.
Oh, it's such a joke. But, yeah, he's incredible. You know, so many times he's bailed myself out and obviously the team out as well. And it's a joke. He doesn't get the credit that he deserves. But, you know, I guess that's one of the special things about playing in Boston, too.
Well, I was going to say, you've been here a few years now. I mean, I don't know. You seem like too nice of a guy to be called a masshole, like unlike me or Whitney over here. But what's...
Shoot! Those people. Fuck you guys.
What are your favorite things about the city and what are your things about Boston that you're not so crazy about?
I don't know. I mean, I love the summers, obviously, here. It's special here, going to Fenway. And
that's your dog's name, right?
Yeah. I almost brought her today. I didn't know.
Oh, I should have. Yeah. Cool.
But yeah, I love the people. It's funny, man. I love the fans. I love, you know, you'll be walking down the street. They'll shout your name, just say hi, and they're not, you know,
they're not
doing
shy,
anything crazy, like, you know, begging you for pictures or autographs and anything. It's like, it almost feels like you're part of the city. So I love that. And I love the expectations. It's the one thing that pushes us forward as athletes and as a team as well. They expect a championship caliber team every year. They expect you to be better than you are. And they expect you to reach your ceiling. So that's it's the two things I love most. Yeah.
And the traffic sucks. You could just
traffic,
say that.
Yeah. It took me way too long to get here today. It's a joke.
So I ask all the guys where I try to remember, what is your favorite thing about playing in the NHL? We can go to road cities, flying private. Do you have anything that you just like, someday, 20 years from now, you'd be like, that was the best part of the league?
Oh, man. I wish we could wear... Go no buckets and warm-ups.
Dude, not the best. Yeah. Halsey fucked that one up.
Yeah, he really
did. Is that what... Did he do it? So that's what made Edmonton. Yeah. Is that with
that's
you guys too?
One of the main reasons. I think someone else did it like the same time.
Yeah, it was somebody else. Yeah. I remember... Yeah, it was that same season. Somebody else took a shot off the eye or something.
Yeah, something crazy. And
no bucket in warm-ups.
That made me so mad because I was so fired up to take my helmet off.
Actually, we got a little break.
Wow, a little breaking news. Send Jordan Eberle to the Islanders in exchange for Ryan Strome in the first big deal after the trade freeze.
Yeah.
So that's Ebs out of Edmonton. I mean, I love that people will be listening to this.
It's a day late tomorrow.
But either way, I mean, that just shows. All right, so that can let me ask you quickly. You're not in a position to worry right now, but do you ever notice how tough it is for guys when you hear your name in the rumors in the trade mill and you're like, oh, God damn it. Like, I'm sure you haven't dealt with it really, but you can tell being in a locker room, it sucks for guys to just worry and think about that.
Yeah, I will say fans have absolutely no idea what the trade deadline does to us as players. It actually rattles me to a certain point. I've never been involved in too many rumors, a few here and there, but to see guys go through it, they have families, they have, you know, sons, daughters, they're enrolled
in
school.
It's so fun for the fans, yeah. And you're just like, oh, well, I'm just grinding through
this.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right now.
They're so stressed out. They don't even sleep at night. They got to pull their kids out of school, go find a new place to live in a different city. And just people don't understand what it's like to uproot and go to a new place. And that's the one thing that bothers me. But it's exciting to watch, man. I'm sitting here looking over the next couple of days and wondering what's
going to
go on.
A lot going on. Yeah. Speaking of a lot going on, obviously you said you listen to the show, so you're familiar with All Right Hamilton when we take listener questions, so you'll stick around.
We always finish off with this, and then we'll let you go.
All right, boys. Savvy Senior, not Savvy Junior, Savvy Senior asked, who is the sneakiest tough guy you ever played against? Not a lot of penalty minutes, but you knew not to piss him off or he would destroy you.
All Right Hamilton.
Wow. Pretty
first.
Yeah.
Guy I played against. I'll tell you who a guy for sure. I didn't play against him just in practice, but Kevin Miller is that guy. You know,
he looks psychotic when he fights.
Yeah, he's crazy, man. He gets pretty upset. Yeah, you don't piss that guy off because he's gonna punch your face in.
Who was a good guy? I think of like a guy like Ben Eager. I remember I played with him and against him, but you're just like, you know, they fight, but then there's this side of them that will just completely fucking murder you. So, I mean, this kid, Steve Pinizzotto too, I played with him. He played a little bit with Edmonton. I played with him in the minors. He plays in Germany now, but he was this guy too, who's pretty skilled, and all of a sudden he'd be punching someone's head and you're like, I didn't know you had that in you.
Did you see that fight this year? It was like, I think it was Sam Bennett and like Jacob Trouba or something.
Shocking.
Dude, I didn't expect that at all.
I know.
So like, there's guys like that all around the league, and you're like, all right, this little skinny little
kid.
That's
why I think if you ask most fighters, like, you know, fighters, as they're not around that often anymore, but guys who like know what they're doing, you can never really. The minute you think you have somebody, you know what I mean? Like, oh, this guy's no deal. You're just gonna get knocked.
It's like Max Domi. He's little, but he can chuck.
Yeah, he dummied Kessler this year, didn't he? Yeah. And then he kept fighting. Then he broke his hand. They were like, all right, buddy, you're not. You're a playmaker here. Let's go.
All right.
Who's yours? Like Sully down the block.
Well, I was gonna say, what some of those project kids, you had to worry about the blade on the stick, and I don't mean the. I mean an actual knife blade that might be on the stick when you're going against them. So. You had to keep an eye out for that stuff.
All right, so Ryan Coos asks, what's your favorite childhood hockey memory?
Oh, I can go first because I know mine right away. Let him think. And because I want to get the attention. You ever play in the Quebec Pee Wee tourney?
I sure did, yeah.
I actually did as well.
Oh! We took that down. So short, Kings. 1983, we beat the Richmond Hill Stars in the final. The only... What's the thing they put when there's an asterisk?
Asterisk.
The only asterisk is that year the Toronto Metro Hockey League. What is it? Is it like the TMH, whatever?
GTHL.
They had like boycotted it. So like their top two teams weren't there. Toronto when you're 12 years old. So Grant, we might have had a trouble with them, but that was my favorite memory.
Yeah, we actually beat the Middlesex Islanders in the quarterfinals.
I beat in the semifinals that year. No shit. Did you win it too?
Yeah, we won it. Yeah.
And he still has a better memory. And I was just, he's like, no big deal. Won that thing.
We went 0-4.
They let you play the last two games in like a mall.
Yeah, it's like
Quebec.
A terrible rink, and like there's a roller coaster going.
You know
overhead.
How they would do player of the game though each game. I did get player of the game one game just because I won about every face off.
There
lost
you go.
We lost about 13.
That's Canada. They respect the defensive side of the puck.
Exactly.
Bergeron in the making.
Exactly.
let me see. Street. Honestly, up North Adams, man. We had street hockey tournament, dude. And I played on some scrub team my first year.
I chugged the most beers after the win.
No, dude, we had like a one-day tournament. And honestly, dude, I don't know if what I ate the night before, dude, I stood on my head the whole day. I had dudes legit coming up and like, ask me if I took lessons over the summer and like street hockey goaltending. I was like, no, man, just on a better team. So yeah, that's that. Winning a day long
Quebec yours
as the goaltender was probably my high point. Just like
I think,
a copy.
Yeah, I mean Quebec was unbelievable.
How sick was that?
Yeah, it was amazing. You feel like a superstar NHL player,
signing
and you're 13 years old,
mugging it up with chicks. Yeah. You're 12. You're like, this is the NHL.
My cup's out of place.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I had a couple good ones. Like they're not. Just memories that I was a part of. Like my brother took a stick to the eyebrow in the street hockey, had to get a bunch of stitches. My two older brothers got in a fight at a rink playing drop-in hockey and beat the crap out of each other. Both had to go get stitches. So just little things like that. It was fun to be part of.
All right. Andy asks, best captain or leader of a team you ever played with? All right,
Hamilton. I think we know.
not gonna piss Z off by giving any other answer.
Well, you were a captain of Michigan State too, correct?
Yeah.
You know what? I think Crosby was the captain. I think of one of the best players of all time, but Sean Horkoff too, a guy who's now retired, working for the Detroit Red Wings. You know him well. And I feel like Hork took a lot of heat when he signed a big deal with Edmonton after they went to the Cup Finals. He signed that huge ticket, and he had a couple great offensive seasons, but he wasn't, you know, that offensive player much longer after he signed the deal. So he took heat in Edmonton, but he was a captain, and he's worked out and trained with them. Nobody trained harder. He would show up every night to every game. We were losing 8-0 to the Blackhawks. He's still doing the right thing. So I think of him all the time because he was. It's easy to be a captain when you're winning, and he was a captain on a team that really struggled. And every guy who played with him, I'd say, would say he's an amazing leader. And working out, he's a fucking animal.
He's an animal. He's a dick to play against too.
Yeah,
he doesn't matter. You're up 8-0, and he's like in the corner, like sticking you.
That's who I think of.
That wraps up the questions on All Right Hamilton. Now, Tori, what are your plans for the rest of the summer here? Like you said, you're staying in Boston for the summer, which speaks volumes for the city. Like we like to have our guys stick around for the summer. Other than working out and going to Fenway, what else you got on tap?
I got a trip to China planned with the Bruins and a sponsorship that they're going over to spread the game over there. And it's fun, something I'm looking forward to. I'd never go probably if it wasn't for this trip. So that's what I'm doing. Yeah,
nice. All right. Well, I think that's about wrapping up.
Can't thank you enough, buddy.
Honestly, thanks so much for coming.
Thanks
all
for having me, guys.
Appear in studio for the show. It's been
in studio.
I like that.
Cobra.
Look at that. We got hot chicks walking around the studio. Free Gatorade.
What's up, honey?
Yeah, what's up, babe? So, seriously, thanks a lot for coming over, making yourself available to us. It's been great. We'd love to have you back
again. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, guys.
All right, peace out.